Father, we open this book again, and we enthuse, Lord, that this is God's word is written and not to be hid, because the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal it to the unsaved world. The only thing they need to know that they're lost and they need Jesus Christ as Savior. And the gospel message is that message to this world. And we who are saved will take that message to the world. But once a person becomes born again, they need to dig further underneath to understand what God has done by faith. Lord, anybody here knows if you go to work at a job somewhere or another, you may have a lot of schooling behind you. But if you get under a specific job, you've got to learn some things about that job to keep your job. You can't take somewhere in one place that do one thing and someone in another place that does something else and try to crisscross them. There's some ideas about work we can. There's work ethics. Lord, there's the desire and giving oneself and trying their best to be the best at what we do, because no matter where we're working at, we're working for you first, and then we know that you'll let others see that work as we try to serve you, and in that service, dear Father, do whatever our lot is to work in this life. And therefore, whatever happens there, if it makes our person we're working for rich, that's all right. We're doing it for you if you want to bless him because of the work we do, Lord. We thank you for that. But we also want to understand more what has happened to us as a child of God. We're living in difficult days. It's not long. Some of us may have to stand before a firing squad or some kind of committee that dare us to claim to be saved or not saved. And if not us, certainly there come a generation that will happen, because it's already happened here in parts of the world. So God, give us that understanding tonight, the growing grace and knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read verse 22, and then we'll go read verse 45 down a few verses. And I read this for rehearsal, because this is going to kind of pick up where we left about 2 weeks ago. In chapter 15, verse 22, watch. Well, let's read 20, 21, 22. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." After you go back, verse 12 through 19, he's talking about if Christ is not risen from the dead, these things are so-and-so. And he lists these out, but he comes down, he said, if, but now, he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. It's not an if for you and I, we know he has, and therefore, since he's risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Now, if he didn't have no more than that, we'd be confused. If we'd know this, by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of life. It would seem like then the person who died, that death came from, might be the one that all could give the life. But Paul's going to reveal to us that's not so. If we all have nature of Adam, and all those in Adam die, there's no one that anyone in Adam per se, in the sense of being a descendant of Adam, could save us. You understand what I'm saying? Because everyone, all have sinned and come short that came from the loins of Adam. Then we come down to Jesus' day, but wait a minute. There's a situation there that God did, which Jesus Christ did not derive from Adam. And that's the reason you have to understand the federation head. He came by the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, Mary became, like we said before, kind of a dressing room for Jesus to be born in. So he didn't receive the nature of Adam. He had God's nature. And though you look at him, he was human, but he's also divine. And therefore, God cut off the seed. Now watch, he said here, but as in Adam all died, so in Christ shall be made alive. Now, verse 20, I'm glad he didn't stop, for since by one man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And as he said, it seemed like, well, if one man came death, by man came, it looks like it might have been the same one, but it's not. The next verse clarifies that. There's two people involved here. And he said, as so in Adam all died. Now, we understand that. I'm looking at everyone here tonight that's here from Adam. And I can say this, and if I don't say nothing else, you believe you'll know that. The day is going to come, you're going to die. Unless the Lord comes back for us, and those who are saved understand that. We know we're going to die. As it is, he said, in Adam, all die. Even so. Now, I like that. Because God has led us to see what we see. We know that first phrase of that verse. And so he said, even so, some equal to that, that raised it to another level. Even so, he said, in Christ shall all be made alive. Two things here, Adam and Christ. Now look at me in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam. He's going to explain this to the church at Corinth. Seems like he had to explain some things a lot different. You get to Rome, he goes into deeper things. But he goes down and he talks in verse 45. So it is written. God's already written this. Go back and read it. And he's rehearsing it now as he writes to the church at Corinth. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, we know who that was, don't we? the first man, Adam. We go back to the book of Genesis 1, we see on the sixth day, he created man by forming the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life. He became a living soul. His name was called Adam. So we know who that's talking about. There's no doubt about who that's talking about. Now watch. But then he says, he's made a living soul. But the last Adam, which we also know says in verse 47 is the second Adam. And I think the Lord emphasized this. He was the second Adam. But you heard me say before to rehearse, if he left it, the second Adam, it might have been a third, might have been a fourth, might have been a fifth. He said the second because he was the second. Amen? But also he says he's the last. So that simply means to me there's not another coming. That means to me there is no other Savior. That means to me it's closed as far as God is concerned. If you don't get in through Jesus Christ, you don't get in. Okay, amen? So the Scriptures are become the basis that you and I put our faith and trust in the Lord about. Now watch, he says, he become a quickening spirit. The difference in the living soul, and that falls in line what Jesus, what God said to about the creation in Genesis, 3:15, I think, when he talked about, let me be sure to get the verses right, in Genesis 3:15, and he talked about, in Genesis 2:15. No, Genesis 2:7. See why I had to check it up? You there with me? Genesis 2:7. And the Lord had said, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the reason you need to talk from the Scriptures, because your mind can get Scriptures messed up. And by the way, you can't have a lot of things in this here without getting some things mixed up. I know I'm off, but I'm not off that far. I know this, and I see some of you. You got the same thing. Don't believe it. Ask your wife or husband, your child. Amen. You realize that happened. But anyhow, he says this, and he said, the last Adam was made the quickening spirit. That is, you look at the first and see how we come as far as a living soul. We look in the mirror, we see ourselves. Then he says the last one that come, and now, or the second one, when he names further, he says, became a quickening, what? Spirit. Now, isn't it interesting? He didn't come a quickening soul. Why? You already had a soul. Came a quickening spirit. Why? The spirit's dead. Why is the spirit dead? Why is the spirit dead? Because of what Adam did in the garden. Because the day that Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually before God. They were cut off from God spiritually. They were alive physically, and they died later physically, but the life support from God was cut off when they sinned against God. Therefore, that set in process physical death. Now, you got to keep in mind, as far as a perfect body could be, they had it when they sinned against God. The only thing that lapsed it at that moment was the fact that the mind caused them, they chose to use their mind to believe Satan rather than God. But when sin came in, it started the process of death. Why? Because they were cut off from God spiritually. In the early days, they lived longer because sin didn't move that fast seemingly. But eventually, after generation, people's lives got shorter and shorter and shorter. Through just a few years ago in our daytime, if you got beyond 50, 55, you're doing pretty good as far as average was concerned. But now we're back to between 70 and 80, 70 and 80, and by reason, 80. So most people living now on average between 70 and 80 years old. Some are living more, but not as many. Some live to be 100. Some live to be 104 or 105. We've seen that around Clayton. But you find how many, you see that the older you get, the less, the sparser it comes as far as age, doesn't it? I guess Miss Deller was the only one. She was 105 when she died. Does anyone know anyone else around Clayton in Johnson County who was older than 105 and still alive? I'm sure they may have been. As far as I know, around Clayton, she was the oldest one when she died, 105 years old. Can you imagine that? Well, even that, though, time came, it's pointed a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. So he goes on now. He says in verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual. Now, God's words proclaim. You know, I think the Lord, in fact, sometimes you don't think we're dumb, but when it comes to spiritual things, he wants us to understand. There is that which has to do with Adam, that has to do with Jesus Christ, and he'll name him, and he calls the last Adam, and he said, now that which was first is, that which was, how about that not, that was not first, I get it right, which is spiritual. In other words, you're looking at these two, and Jesus Christ was not first in the sense of nature of man. He was before Adam. In heaven, because he's a God was a spirit, and God is a spirit in John 4. But here he goes on. He says, how about that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So that which is natural was first in the plan of God here, even though Jesus Christ was in the beginning with God. But as far as earth is concerned, Jesus came later, 4,000 years later, to be born in the physical body. And then he goes on, he said, verse 47, the first man is of the earth earthly. That's Adam. Everything about the first man had to do with the earth here. He's earthly, flesh, everything. Then notice he said, he brings in the second is the Lord from heaven. Now he's laying a premise here, a foundation here, of why Christ is able to do for us what God says he is. Because he's cut off from sin. He's from heaven. He's part of the Godhead. He came incarnated, got in the flesh. He became a man. He did what God had asked to do, even to the commandments, and therefore died for us as our pay our sin debt. Why? Because you're going to be finding God is talking about a gift that's given. It's called the gift of righteousness, which brings about the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only he could do that. And God is saying that in the plan and purpose where what he created. And it amazes me because I don't want to second guess, but in my mind I think sometimes maybe God is showing us that he created man, he created the angels, gave them a chance, and a third of the heaven has failed. And then he created man, testing one test, and he failed. And then he created a situation where it would come and redeem a generation. I don't know, and I may be guessing here, but it seems like in my mind, and Lord knows I would not dare try to say, seems in my mind God is saying, well, now I've showed you angels had a chance and they threw them and failed. I showed you man had a chance when he was tested, he failed. Now, I'm not going to give that another creation and have someone have a test to see if they fail or not. What I'm going to do is take what I've already in the face of Satan, because Satan's going to be around unless God finishes out until he does finish it out. Satan's still loose. And if he deceived us in Adam, in the Federation Head, he might deceive someone else. He certainly deceived the angels who was in the presence of God, didn't he? Millions of them failed, and there was a third of the heavenly host. We know at least that under Lucifer. He certainly deceived Adam and all the millions who've been born since Adam. So in my mind just, I've got a peanut mind, but I clarify. In my mind just seems like God said, I'm not going to just create again and give a test. I'm going to show you that I want a people for myself who love me for who I am, and I'm going to work it out where I can show you I don't ask anything of you that I can't do myself. You see why Jesus came? He came from heaven, God in the flesh. We can never say, but God, you might have done. No, God says, no, I've already shown you. I did what I asked. And by the way, I'm going to use that method of my son who died for you. I'm going to use that for you to be birthed into the family of God and removed one day from flesh into the portals of glory. And once that's done, you'll be sealed forever. Why? Because Satan's going to be done away with. Here's a time that God can remove Satan because he has no other plan for testing. When we get to heaven, we won't have to be tested no more. Amen. You know why? We have a body fashioned like the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, wow. It's amazing, folks. I don't know. It's just something about it makes my heart beat fast. I like to have a heart attack because it just makes your heart beat faster when you understand what God has done for us. Man, alive is so much alive. And this world, the religious cloak just look like, I'll be in it when I'm in church. When I get out of church, don't worry about it anymore. When I get back to church, I'll get clothed in it again. It can't be that way if you really understand. And watch what he says. He said the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is of the Lord of heaven. We know that's Jesus Christ. Now watch. 48. As in the earth, such are they also that are earthly. And as in the heavenly, such are they that are also heavenly. In those of the earth are going to go the same way until they meet Christ. Once they do that, they get born from above, and then our conversation is there. God has said our society is there. Our way of life should be thinking about that more than here as we walk in this life. And then notice he said, that also is heavenly. He said, and as we are born in the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Why can we bear that? Because we've been born again. John 3. Then he said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. Turn quickly to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. And let me show you what we will look like, though. He said, flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. So what's going to happen? We'll look in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 20 and 21. Watch. Paul says, our conversation, That's our way of life. Now, we're here walking in the flesh. But he says our conversation, our way of life is in the heavens. Wait a minute. That means simply, I want to know enough about God for it. Even though there are going to be some places I'll fail, and so would you. But it won't be a lifestyle. It won't be a daily routine. It won't be occupying everything in this world, leaving God out. If we have a mind as we walk in this life, our mind is heavenly. And whatever God has set me to do here is prepare me for I meet him. That should be it. With this flesh, he understands I'll take the wrong road. Once I won't have all the facts together. I may not have all the scripture I need to know. I might have not grown as much as I should. I might not be separated as much as I should until God gets me to a point. But my life should be being separated. My life should be growing. My life should be more heavenly than earthly. Why? That's going to be our final home. And that's where we're headed, even though we're in this life. He said, now what? Our conversation is in heaven, from which we also look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we look for him daily. To look for him daily is to be pure. Now watch in verse 21. Why are we looking for him? Notice, who shall change our vile body, that fleshly body you're in right now, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all them unto himself. Now, what we're seeing here is this. Most Christians have no problem with Jesus talking about representing us on the cross. I don't know if anyone says that a Christian has any problem. Well, I'm glad that Jesus took my place on the cross. You know what the problem is, though, with humanity? They have a problem when you begin to say, but wait a minute, because of Adam, you're born in sin. And the first they say, what do you mean? And I just rehearsed a little bit before. What do you mean born in sin? I didn't do what Adam did. No. But God says because of Adam's sin, we have his nature. And that's what we have to understand. They often reject the idea of Adam representing us in the garden. But they're really ready to take that Christ represented them on the cross. But you have to have one, you've got to have the other. If Jesus Christ represented on the cross, then Adam represents us in the garden when he fell. One leads to life, that's Jesus on the cross, the other leads to death. So we started leading to death first. God gave a sacrifice. He did a lamb, and through the Old Testament. And now when Christ died on the cross, that gave us, when we by faith trust him as Savior, gave us to be part of the family of God. So to reject one is to reject the other. Now someone said, but that's not fair. I've had people tell me, preach, wait a minute, you trying to tell me that I'm a sinner because of what Adam did? No, I'm saying that you are the nature of Adam, and because you have his nature, you will sin. But that ain't fair. Well, is it fair for Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, to come to this earth, take on a body, who did never sin, and go to Calvary, and God make him sin for us, that we might be the righteous of God? Is that fair? Not really. He didn't deserve it. He didn't have to do it. Why did he do it? God is love. Aren't you glad he did, though? Aren't you glad? I don't understand all about God's love, but I think God, he is love. Because of that, I know what he's done. And it'll last forever, no doubt about that. So reject that. But that's exactly what he did. He didn't. Yet those who deny that Adam represented us in the garden rarely accept the fact that Jesus represented us on the cross. Now it's clearly seeing that in the case of Jesus took our place on Calvary. No doubt about that. Jesus died for you and I. We see that all through the scriptures. He bore our sin. He became death for us. That is the sin that paid the sin debt of sin. And we've already seen that Jesus was the second or last Adam. He represented us as the second or last Adam. And so what? Now the question is this now. Since we who are saved here don't have any doubt about who he is about on Calvary. But since he has done that for us, let's go back now. What did the first Adam do? You say, well, he listened to his wife. No, he fell because he wanted to. He could not listen to his wife, but he loved her so much, he fell by transgression. She was deceived. Adam was not deceived. The Bible tells us that. All right, now I want to go back to Romans chapter 5, 18. And here's one of the very powerful, best verses probably in the scriptures that you read. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. Now I want to go back. I want to zero in on 18, verse 18, but I want to go back and start again and set a preface in the foundation, verse 12, down just like we did in 1 Corinthians 15. Interesting verse of scripture as we get down. Watch now. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church of Rome now. He's explaining some deep things. He goes back and tells us why we're under sin. He goes back and show that even if you didn't have the law, people still died. For a number of years, about 2,500 years or so, at least, a number of years anyhow. About 2,500 years before the law was given. Somewhat 1,500 years after that, after the law was given. So there's more time from Adam to Moses was given than there was from the time of Moses and Israel and when you get to the book of Matthew, if I got it figured out right. So here, look with me what he says in verse 12. Wherefore? Now, as he goes back and he talks about justification, he talks about terms that's blessed to us. God commended his love towards us while we yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than, verse 9, been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Isn't that wonderful? Been justified, declared right by the blood of Christ because we believe God rather than Satan. And he goes on and he tells us what has happened there, that he said that we've been saved from wrath to come. That's the reason I believe verses like that and many others tell me I'll never have to worry about going to hell. I won't have to even worry about going through the wrath of the tribulation period. I may see some pre-things of the tribulation period coming, but it won't be as bad as it will those in the latter part of the tribulation period. That's the reason I believe God in a number of places talking about us being saved from that wrath. He's going to deliver us. We go through enough here as his children. And then there'll be another group we'll go through in the tribulation period at that time. Then notice as he goes on forth and he says, for if we were enemies, we were exiled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, I want you to notice all the scriptures we've been talking about is that when we trust Christ or we receive Christ or what he's done for us and we accept the fact we believe in his word. Then he says, watch, wherefore? He's going to lay something out between Adam and Jesus Christ. He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Who is that? Adam. The first Adam. Adam of the Garden of Eden. So we'll clarify who that is. Notice he said, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that one verse tells me a lot. I say that you go back to Adam's time. He was an innocent. God gave him a test. They failed the test. And it put them under the condemnation of sin with a nature to sin. Now, if that be the case, if I understand what he's saying here, he says that all have sinned. That means that everyone that came from the loins of Adam until the time God closes this thing out have sinned. Well, now, preacher, wait a minute. You may say that. I don't believe God would do that because, you know, Adam lived 6,000 years plus ago. Makes no difference. When you know the facts and God gives a remedy to the facts, why is it man tries to change everything, make God seem like a lie? Because Satan is still alive and well, and he wants to do the same thing now to this world that he did Adam and Eve when they were innocent. And don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, if they were innocent and got trapped, he don't have a bit of trouble with this world. You know who he had trouble with? You and I who have been born again. And even there, he has a field day sometimes. Because we don't have it all together. But the fact is, he can't do anything. He knows he can't do anything about what's happening in our heart if you're truly born again. If it's come from the heart to the mouth, your heart is the place of belief. Your mouth is the commotion that you talk about it. It's the voice of it where people in here know that you say they know that you're saved. Now watch. He said now, verse 13, lay out. He said, all have sinned. Now, if sin is a curse and death comes because of sin, then all die. And watch, he said, for until the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now that's an immense thing because God is letting us see something we quite don't understand. God has said there was no law per se to govern people from Adam to Moses' day, 2,500 years. But those people still die. Why? There was a type of ministry that God dealt with households. The father was the priest of the house. God dealt in communities and so forth. There was some direct hand of God how he worked through different ones and so forth. There was requirements. There were things that when the scriptures were not written that they read for the heavens and so forth. There were certain ones that God called out to be the representation in those days to let them know who the true and living God was. and to know what right and wrong by one's living. But he said, there's no way to have people all the time, because no, can you imagine if we didn't have laws today? People would be doing everything just like they do in their, eyes, in their own eyes. But laws separated. So God came along and gave laws to make sin more sinful. That is, when they broke a law, there's a curse for that law, and we feel that today. And we'll go to further than that. Just in fact is, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. That is, people still die because of the nature of Adam. The curse is on that nature, but there was no degrees in the sense until God gave the law. Why? God is a gracious God. He's not going to require someone that he didn't tell what was there. So he said, I didn't impute sin to them in that thing, but they still died. Why? Because the curse is on Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. The curse was they would die spiritually. And when they died spiritually, that set in folks in the physical death. And all of those that came after them died physically because Adam died spiritually first. Somehow or another, the life of God was coming through the Spirit. And he's cut off. Then God set this body up that it could live a period of time, but it would finally die under the system that he made it. Now, look further with me. Now, he goes on. He said, nevertheless, he said, for until the law, sin was not in the world. Sin was in the world, but sin not imputed, for there's no law. Nevertheless, notice, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. That, I want to settle it there. He said, everyone after Adam died didn't die because they sinned like Adam sinned. They sinned because they had his nature that he got because of his sin, and it was passed on. Notice now, he talks about Adam, 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 Adam. You don't find anywhere much at all he mentions Eve. Now, why is that? It's important because later you're going to see something why. And it's going to help you understand in the day of feminism when they've said to me, God created everybody. Just this past week, I heard someone talk about using Galatians, that God created everybody equal, therefore men and women are equal to each other. Well, they are to some degree as humanity, but in position-wise, God is the one who set the position. That's another thing. I can't teach that now, but I'm working on that, you know, it too. It's amazing all these fingers God puts out here that needs to be attached to these, because every time you come up with a study, there's something going to tributary from it that needs to be seen to understand. And one of the things I found out for sure, when God talked about submitting and a man loving his wife and a woman submitting unto him, he did not mean that man was a tyrant over a wife. He didn't mean that a wife had to obey everything he had to say. It meant that if you have that loving relationship like it should, then every person will be in their position, a man respect his wife's position, wife respect her man, and they too become one, and God will be honor, and there'll be peace in that home. But without that, it won't be. There won't be peace in that home. And I remember back a few years ago, it got on the tangent that, you know, because of some scriptures taken out of context, that preachers became the dominant tyrant, and they were like a king sitting on a throne somewhere or another. A man is head of his house. Man is king of his house. But wait a minute, the woman is queen. See, I already got in something. I got you hanging. I can't do it now because it takes too long to do it. But what I'm saying, all these things go back. You go back and lay the foundation, and you see what God's doing. It works. It works because God planned it. We mess it up. Then notice what he said. Now, lest death reign from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after them to Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that to come? Now, he's fixed to explain something. Is given in Moses' day, 2,500 years after Adam. Watch now, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also of the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, by which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Notice, now he names Jesus here, he said, hath abound also many. Now notice the word offense, but not as the offense, and also the word to or free gift. These are not the same. And yet, they're offered at different times. It's because of the offense of one. Watch, he said, for it's through the offense of one, many be dead. Dead how? Spiritually. Many of those weren't dead physically then. They were dead spiritually, cut off from God. And because of that, they're headed towards physical death. Now watch. And he goes on, he said, be dead much more than, if that's happened in our own thinking, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, and he's going to tell us about that in a few minutes, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound also. If Adam was able to do that for the physical flesh, this man, Jesus Christ, through the wonderful way he was birthed in Luke chapter 1, Mary's womb, today, he is able to do for us, he said he is able, he said much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. What's now? In verse 16, not as it was by that one sin, so it is the gift. Now, he said, it's not that Adam is not the one who put us in this mess and can give us the gift out of it. That's not it. The second one come is the one who gives us the gift. What is the gift? You're going to see in just a minute. He talks about the gift of righteousness and the gift of God's eternal life. Not, he said, not as it was by the one that sinned, that's Adam, so is the gift. Adam put us in the mess. If you want to call what he did for us a gift, fine, but that's not God who puts it that way. He said the gift comes from the other last Adam. He said, because this Adam, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. We know that judgment came from Adam. He said, but the free gift, what's the difference now? The offense and the judgment comes because of the offense comes from the bounds of Adam. But now watch, he says, but the free gift is of many offenses. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The free gift comes one who took our offense against that was against us. And now it comes to, unto justification. Watch, then 17 explains it. For if by one man's offense, death reigned. Get that now. One man's offense, death reigned. That means I go back. Where's death reigned? From Adam's day. So I got Adam's nature, condemnation, a curse. Therefore, my nature is cursed and will produce the same things, even though it may be different. Sin's today, sin is sin, but maybe some things today Adam even knew about. But he goes on and he says, for if one man's offense, death reigned, by one, watch this, and this is the one back in verse 16 brought to justification, by one much more, they which receive abundance of grace, and watch this now, they who receive the abundance of grace, and watch, and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one. Who is that? Jesus Christ. You receive by grace the gift of righteousness. Then it is through Jesus Christ that this reigns in you and I who trust Christ as their personal Savior. And this, of course, the other place is to add to that when you see you can't get into this family, you can't get into this federation head of the new birth unless you are born again, John chapter 3. And all those verses enhance to see I have to be born again to even understand what's going on here. The only thing I can't understand, if anything, I'm part of Adam, and I'm not going to believe that anyhow, because I can't believe he sinned caused me to be where I'm at today. That's the way the unsaved look at it. They have no insight at all except intellect of man, and they find thousands agree with them. But this puts it precise. And watch what he says. For if by one man again offense reigned by once, much more they that which receive abundance of grace and of the gifts of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That is, I have the potential coming from Adam to be delivered from that by one who is Jesus Christ, that he would do for me what I could not do for myself. And now, when I look in the latter part of verse 8, 17, he said, by one, Jesus Christ. That tells me that everything God offers me to get out from under Adam's curse is in Jesus Christ. Now, watch verse 18. Here is a powerful verse of Scripture. Watch it. He leads into verse 19. Therefore, Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Spirit, as he lays this foundation out and these principles out, and he says, therefore, now listen carefully. It's here for a reason. Watch. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men. How? To condemnation. Because, now he said, I've laid it out, I showed you the two, I showed the conditions, and by the offense of one, who is that one? Has to be Adam. You go back, and he said, judgment came into all men. And it wasn't just, hey, if it had been just in Adam's day, it wouldn't have been but one at that time. But it happened right then. All men that come down through the ages. Then he says this, he says, even so, he said, upon all men to condemnation. That is, you're condemned. The wrath of God's upon. The wrath of God hangs over us. It's like you see in John chapter 3, I think down about verse 36. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Every person that's born physically in this world, from Adam's day, without Jesus Christ, has the wrath of God hanging over them. That's what John 3:36 says. It hangs over. I used to think about that. I was in the field, even before I got saved and going to church, I hear verses. I used to think about, man alive, the wrath of God. Wrath of God. How easy to get the wrath of God? And I used to think one time I was out in the corn patch, and I was thinking about how brittle a corn stalk was. I mean, you ever pulling corn in the wintertime, it was brittle. You just hit it and pop it right off, you know. And I used to think, and I thought one time out there, I said, you know, amazing thing. You know, the wrath of God would be just kind of like, you know, there's no way that I could survive if I had hold of a corn stalk and had to swing over the pit of hell. There's no way in the world that corn stalk would keep me because it broke too easy. Now, why do you think that? I don't know. I just, it caught to my mind. We were pulling corn, and the corn stalk popped off, and I think, no, really and true, to not be saved is like swinging out of a pit of hell and a hold of a corn stalk. You're not going to survive it. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is better than corn stalk. Amen. Amen. And he goes on. He said, watch this. And he says, so all men to condemnation. That is, all are condemned. Even so, I love that, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, here's the case. There's a problem there people have. They want to believe what God said, and they say, since all men are condemned in Adam. Notice that's part of that verse, and I'm going to leave here, but next week we're going to pick it up, because you need to understand this last phrase. He said, even so, as you look at that earthly thing of death, and you see those things happen, even so, the righteous of one, the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. Some people say, well, hey, man, that's great, preacher. You see what you read? See what you read? Well, what did I read? You read that Adam all died. In Christ, all are made alive. It does say that, and came upon all men. But notice the difference. Therefore, as for one offense, one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. Now, you're going to go back. Here's the case, persuasion. When you read something, it seems like it stands on its own. And suddenly you find hundreds of scriptures that disproves that. God has given us a secret. We understand this. A man cannot get out of under the curse of God unless they believe the record that God gave of his son. So that tells me all men are not going to be saved at the end of the age. Well, preacher, you said it, scripture. It still means all men are not going to be saved. Why? Because God has given us the potential of what has happened. You see, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully. Just as one offense resulted in condemnation for everyone, so one act of righteousness resulted in justification and life for people, potentially. Why do I say that? Watch. It is a gift of righteousness, right? Watch the words. Didn't that body say, shake your head at me? Your fist or something. It's a gift of righteousness, right? All right, when you go to Romans 6:23, he says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Where? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are two places only for gift. Now let me ask you something. What is a gift? A gift does not benefit anyone unless it is received. Thank you, brother. That proves something to me, brother. The fact is, it's got to be received. It is not a gift to us. So it shows me the fact is, God has done everything he can to give us the information about his gift. It's wrapped up in the gospel. And when a man says, no, I ain't going to receive that, they don't receive the gift. And therefore, they're still under the curse. The only thing can remove us out of that curse is the gift of God. What is that? It's a gift of righteousness established in Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, and that gift is eternal life. And it comes through a birth. Makes sense. Father in heaven, thank you for this book. Thank you, Father, for the tremendous truth found in this book. I believe with all my heart that it's a book that can only be understood by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that comes from years of studying. And then, Lord, those questions that the world rises up all the time, trying to get in the way the easiest way they can, and claim they believe the Bible, Lord, it's simply because they're not grown enough to understand. God has a condition when it comes to not for us to be saved because he loved us when we were sinners, but to be take of Jesus said one day to the Jews, you will not believe me that you might have life. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die. And you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Lord, there's enough verses to show that you did not ever intend for anyone to think that everyone would be saved in the end. It's a lie of Satan that takes some scriptures and can't understand it because a few words, like it's read, and somehow or another can't see the content in the sense of what the Lord is trying to say. I guess we'd have to have his mind completely if we'd understand, because he's trying to break down what he's done for us to understand our little peanut minds. And Lord, you're so much beyond us that I guess if you'd explain everything upon everything, upon everything, upon everything, we'd have so many books we'd never be able to read them all. But we do have your word, and we look for you to help us look at what you say in context, dear Father, and then somehow or another apply it so we can understand it by using things we are familiar with and sometimes we're not, but yet understand words of the vehicle that you come to our heart to help us know those things that we need to know till we get home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.